This particular series that we're in began with the word lasting. Talked about relationships, but specifically as it relates to this area of lasting. We understand that God desires that relationships would be what? Some of y'all are unsure of that. Amen. God wants our relationships to be. I promise you, I'm going to attempt to reach everyone. And what I mean by that is my heart is sincerely dedicated, and I guess I'm growing older and recognizing that maybe what we kind of partially called to do is to help those that are hurting and to help heal those that are hurting. Are you with me? Amen. And everybody has, you know, grace and giftedness for what Christ has created and called you to do. And I think we've just been having some phenomenal ministers over relationships. Amen? Amen. That was a powerful message by Pastor Holly on last week. And so I just recommend if you didn't listen to it, please go back and listen to it. But when the series began, or when we came to this period, the first word that we began with was the word what? The first word we began with was the one on the screen. And I thought we had a whole lot of educated people. So the series began with what?
Lasting.
But in order to have anything be lasting, how many understand it has to be loving? Amen. And so when we talk about this series, when we talk about relationships, what's lasting is what's what?
Loving.
Amen. And because there are some very phenomenal men and women of God that are in our house and people that you might know and other churches which build incredible Christians as well. One of the things you have to understand, and I hope we, I feel more paternal and more practical today, if that's okay, all right? And so the point I'm making here is that to go from loving and lasting, you realize that though all of us may not have it in our background, God still provided something that we can have all of his. Does that make sense? But I do think we need to at least acknowledge and admit some people have it very well because they've been given a legacy.
That's right.
Is that right?
That's right.
Amen. And so these three words set the precedence for the series of relationships. It comes out of the next thing we found was Proverbs 24, verses 3 through 4. In the Amplified Bible, everybody, would you read? Ready, set, read. Through skillful and godly wisdom is a house, a life, a home, a family built. And by understanding, it is established on a sound and good foundation. And by knowledge shall its chambers of every area be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
So let's just move right along, if you don't mind. In verse 3, this is the breakdown version of verse 3. It says, skillful and godly wisdom. That's how a house is built. Amen? Now, notice interesting that when it defines the word house in the Amplified Bible, in parentheses, it put those next three things. And I'm going to use those next three things to kind of amplify the message. Are you with me?
Amen.
And that is a life, a home, and a family. Everybody got that? And it says it's through skillfulness and godly wisdom. That's how it's built. And by understanding, it is what? On a what? And now check this out. When we talk about a house, you know, I've done a lot of ministering before about the word house, and I've described from the book of Genesis through Revelations, there's eight different definitions for the word house. We won't go into all of those, but five of those definitions actually deal with people, and only three of those actually deal with an actual structure or building. Is everybody with me? So when God talks about building a house, he's not talking about building your three-car garage.
Amen.
Now, he's going to get to that. But why have a big, beautiful edifice? Y'all remember that secular song, right? Some of y'all remember. When he's just singing. Don't dare me like that, brother. Welcome to BCC, brother. If I didn't like the message of the song, I'd get my croon on, brother. But it says a house is not a home, right? Right? So therefore, you can have a great building, but how many understand it doesn't feel like a home when it's only you there? Y'all with me? So therefore, what we want to do is take a look at house, those three words, a life. So when we talk about a life, we're talking about a relationship of what? A relationship of what? Notice what it says, no longer what?
Singles.
Interesting study. Please come back and tell me if you find something different. I am going to change my vocabulary, and I'd like to invite you to change yours. I don't believe that the Bible ever describes people as single. The people that are unmarried, like you call it singles ministry, I don't know. That's right. Thank you, Sister Oliver. You know what? I don't think the Bible, I could be wrong, Pastor, I want to say this too. I'm going to break things down today, and I mess, you know how a pastor does. He messes stuff up, right? That's why I'm preaching this Sunday, and Pastor Jeremy preaches next Sunday. So that whatever I mess up, the man of God can come and put it back together again, amen? But here's the thought. I'm now going to refer to people as being unmarried. Now, don't take on the world's connotation to that. It's not that you're single, because how many of you say God wants us to be married and single?
Right.
Here's the difference. Am I supposed to be married and fragmented?
No.
Exactly. God wants me to be single, which is the definition of whole, right? So therefore, to talk about a life, I'm going to talk about a relationship of what? Of what? I sound like some of y'all scared to say it, amen? When we talk about a home, I want to talk about the relationship in
marriage.
When we talk about family, I want to talk about the relationship in married with children. That's not a TV show. Are you with me? A family, when we talk about a relationship in married with children, okay, is built. When we talk about being built, how many understand that building has to be continually constructed? Meaning when you build a house, it has to be framed and then it has to be formed. It has to keep being built upon. You cannot build something and then not maintain it.
Amen.
Praise God. So when we talk about this, it says by understanding. Now this is really good. By comprehension and awareness. Understanding is the way you build something or the way you establish something is by comprehension and awareness. And the real definition of established meaning beginning or its origin. That's where it begins at. That's where its origin is. Get this. This is what it means. On a sound means this, good condition or not damaged, injured, or diseased. This is huge. I'll give you a little preview. Sometimes we start relationships not soundly. Right? So if we start relationships that potentially are unsound, what is more probable of its end? That it's going to crumble. Right? So therefore, when you establish it, it ought to be understanding, comprehension, awareness on how you establish it on a sound, a good condition, not damaged, injured, or a disease. That's why you've got to have the power and strength to say no to someone that just got out of a relationship.
Amen.
It's a good word. A lot of shouting today. Good thing, Pastor, good thing growing in maturity, Poppy came up and had us meet the Holy Spirit first. Amen. Because none of y'all are shouting up and down the aisles right now. Amen. That's all right. And then it says a good foundation, which is to be on a what? Has to be on a what?
Rock.
Very good. Verse 24 says, verse 4 says, and by knowledge shall his chambers of every area be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. I'm going to go really fast, if you don't mind. I want to get to a part in the message today. In Proverbs 24, verse 4, the breakdown version is this. By knowledge shall the house, chambers of every area be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Praise God.
Amen.
Watch this. Chambers of every area in this analogy could be considered as what?
Rooms.
It says the chambers in the house are every what? Room, right? So therefore, precious and pleasant riches. So what are those pleasant and precious riches in those rooms? They ought to be relational attributes. There ought to be things that we have built in and formed in our relationship, just like you have in a house. So to liken a room is to liken to what it's for. Therefore, a living room is for hosting and hospitality. Come understand, you got to have a relationship that is about hosting. It's about receiving. It's about serving one another. Are you with me? Can I get you something? Come understand, if you do that with those that's just guests, how much more should we do it with those that actually are in the relationship? Right? Pastor Creflo Dollar made a statement once. He says that him and Taffy was in bed. They was about to get in bed. You know, he said the anointing, the sleep was on him that night. Right? And he said he had just put his foot in the sheet, climbed, put that other sheet, put that other foot in there. And Taffy said, honey. Now, I have to believe he has a big house. But he said, could you give me a drink of water? How many understand that could have been asked before they got to bed? But how many understand you got to be a good host and have hospitality? A room should be like a kitchen. A kitchen is where we have preparation and nourishment. Is this too practical? Okay, I'll keep going along. In the dining room is where we have fellowship and what? Intake. In the bathroom is for cleansing. Somebody said clean. I heard that. Cleansing and what?
Grooming.
How many know there's some things in our relationship we need to cleanse? There are some things in our relationship it needs to be groomed. It's getting a little hairy. Playroom. Listen, a playroom and a family room is where we ought to have recreation and relaxation. When we talk about being in a basement, a cellar, or a garage, that's for storage or for parking things. And as it relates to relationships, we all have to have a study, an office, or a library. That's where our administration goes. That's where our learning takes place. That's where we have thought. That's where we make plans at. That's where we take care of finances at. How many understand in our room? It doesn't matter if you clear everything out and you do it on the kitchen table, it becomes an office at that moment, and you got to have that in your relationship. Are you with me? The same thing with a bedroom, because a bedroom is designed for rest and for what?
Intimacy.
And these are the establishes of what we need in the relationship. So as we're in the series, Built to Last, Loving Relationships That Leave a Legacy, I want to talk about this particular subject today. Dad, what's giving up? I don't know, son. We're Christians. Somebody say amen. That's a good word right there. Today's title is called Why We Give Up. Why We Give Up. Would you say that with me?
Why We Give Up.
Now, please, please, please. Really good preaching says that you have already shouted and praised the Lord. Now, don't be withholding your praise from me now. Amen. Right? Yeah, it's going to be, you know, I told you. I guess I'm concerned because I'm aware and I recognize. And I know that's why I have to be very open and you know, full of honesty that there are people among us that are experiencing hurt from brokenness, hurt from divorce, hurt from dividing relationships, hurt because we haven't talked to that particular relationship or that person for multiple years. Or we're on the very verge of certain relationships that could go that direction. Are you with me? And so therefore, today's message and the overall encouragement to those that are hurting, how we can come along and help, is to deal with this subject, because if we don't know why we give up, how many understand we can't put the preventions in it to not? Is that right?
Yep.
And I know at a spirit-filled camp and a church where we're used to shouting and praising and running and wanting to be happy all the time and things like that, I too likewise lead that. But I think sometimes I don't know if we begin to close our ears or we start turning doctrine around if we start talking about the things that are not. Yeah. Are you with me? Amen. Can I give you a secret about Jesus? Mm-hmm. When Jesus preached about marriage, he always preached about divorce. Mm-hmm. I'll show you in the scriptures. Everybody say, why we give up? Turn to your neighbor and say, why we give up? Turn to your neighbor and say, why do we? Give me a couple of minutes. Let's talk about it. When we talk about unmarried, here's the godly counsel to unmarried. Grow. Do not think you know, but grow in maturity. That's it, brother. You knew I was coming, right? Go and write that down, bro. So all of the unmarried say amen. You should understand, I'm show you in scripture, give you a couple of examples. Do not think you know, but rather grow in maturity. You know what else? Learn how to be what? Learn how to be what?
Content.
Learn how to be content. You cannot be in the constancy of wanting to be in a different stage of life when you're in this particular stage of life. Let me understand that'll drive you in anxiousness.
That's right.
Think, believe, and speak the mathematics of what? Amen. The mathematics of what?
Amen.
And then we want to talk about overcome by others' testimonies. Amen. Learning how to overcome by others' what? I've got a minimum of 3 testimonies designed throughout the year. Most of them are going to take place in the fall of people that have been in different phases and stages, but God caused them to go from unmarried to finding the God mate and are on the verge or have entered into marriage. And instead of me trying to preach that, how many understand we just bring them in and let them tell you their story and you can be encouraged and say, well, God's no respecter of persons. Amen. And what he did for them, he can do for me. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. Married. All the people that are married say amen.
Amen.
Today what we want to deal with a little bit is believe God about being joined together. Also, we want to learn the lessons from Jesus' teachings on what? And what we're going to do well is the distress of offenses. Jesus said it this way. It's impossible that offenses would come. It's impossible that offenses would not come. So since they are going to come, it's not about trying to avoid them. It's about learning how to overcome them. Amen. Offenses are going to what? They're going to happen. They're going to come. What must God want to do with us? He wants to teach us how to what? Overcome. And then everybody say it out loud, loud as you can. Say, don't drown. Come on, say it as loud as you can. Say, don't drown.
Don't drown.
All right, we're going somewhere. Amen. I only got a few minutes to go, but we're going to preach it. Family. That's when you go to a whole nother level. I understand if you married and you needing a whole lot of prayer. When you go to married with children, you on a what? A whole nother level. And therefore, to Jesus. Amen. I'll show it to you in the scriptures. Thinking ourselves into the God of peace, learning contentment, and being in the midst of crazy season. I'm sorry, that means can, like noun. Learning contentment and can amidst a crazy season. And then the historical value of apology. Everybody say apology. I don't think I'll get to that today. But I was doing a study on apology. Powerful, powerful, powerful. I'll give you a snippet. Here's a snippet. The history to the word apology. The history to the word apology. Say apology.
Apology.
Actually means this. A formal defense against an accusation. Is that how we use the word apology today?
No.
So I'm not going to wait. I'll just tell you Revelation now. I won't go through all of the Latin and the Greek. I'll just tell you the revelation right now. How do you understand if the history of it is a defense? Say it with me. A defense. Against an accusation. Can I give you a revelation? That means the greatest defense to an accusation or an offense against you is to forgive. Amen. That radically transforms. The preacher's getting back. That radically reforms the thought that you need to defend yourself and that you need to puff up against whatever somebody said, up to and inclusive if it's not true, because it's just an accusation. But even if it is true or not, don't defend yourself, but rather ask for forgiveness. Because the very best act of defense is to ask for forgiveness. That's a good word, bro. That's edumacation right there. All right. Say preacher. Treach. I'm going to do it fast. Every relational role is found in Matthew chapter 19, verses 9 to 13. Never saw this before. First time I saw it this year, right now, as I'm studying. Every relational role that it talks about in relationships is found in Matthew 19, verses 3 to 13. Watch this. And Pharisees came up to him and tested him by asking, is it lawful? Say, is it lawful?
Is it lawful?
Right here, I want you to catch this. They came to Jesus, who is the Word. So therefore, he represents spiritual truth, or Old Testament, New Testament, the Logos. He represents what is right with God. So therefore, when they came to him, they were asking, is it right or religiously okay for me to get a divorce? That's a good word. Do you catch that? And isn't that just like us today? Before we do something, we always want to know, is that going to be okay with God? That's exactly what they just did. So then it says to divorce one's wife for any reason. He answered, have you not read? Turn to your neighbor and say, have you not read? This is just a little encouragement. Do you realize that oftentimes we don't know truth because we have not read? There is no way. Some of y'all get upset if we go over 3 minutes anyway. Now, there's no way we can cover the full Bible on a Sunday. But we know that many times we are lacking in the knowledge, the comprehension, or how to fill relationships with all the pleasant riches is because we have not read. Jesus says, have you not read? So therefore, we've got to learn how to what? Hallelujah. That he who created, talking about his Father, God, them from the beginning made them male and female. And he said, therefore, a what? Amen. Therefore, a what? Notice this relational role. A man shall leave his father and mother, another relational role, and hold fast or cleave to his what?
Wife.
Cleave to his wife, which is another relational role. Man cleave to his wife. And the two shall become one what?
Flesh.
One flesh. They are no longer two, but one. And then the scripture says, so they are no longer two, but one flesh. Now catch this. This is the point I'm trying to make about marriage, which could really bless us. Do we really believe God joined us together? That's the message. Come on, give me your heart. Give me your soul. Think this through a little bit. If we find ourselves giving up in marriage or in relationships, somehow we have begun to take on the thought that we're not really one. You see, you cannot mentally justify dividing without you saying, well, we are already divided. I just spoke with a young man. I don't know why God done it this way. I've been talking to all kind of marriage people and all kind of divorce people this, you know, just this period of season of life. And I sat down and said, oh, God help me. This guy asked me, hey, would you go to lunch with me? And I never do that. Matter of fact, I was fasting. But God had already given me a word that he was going to ask before it happened. So when he asked me, he was asking me because God had ordained it that something needed to be transferred about the situation he was in. And here's one of the things he said. One of the things he said was this: I just wish we could go back and do it all over again. Isn't that true? But God has given us an opportunity that you can do it better right now. So that you never have to be in regret to want to have to do it again. Is everybody with me? Here's the point I'm trying to get us to see. Well, I just flipped it. Do we really believe that God joined us together? Because here's not what I said. Here's the thing he said. There was some unfaithfulness in the marriage. And this is what he said. He said, in my spouse's mind, we were already divided. Do you hear that? You see, if we come to this place where we say, I'm going my separate ways, it's because we already come to the place of believing we're divided. And therefore, the question is, do we believe God ever really what? Joined us. Okay. Let's keep going. We're almost there. They said to him, why then did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce? Now this time, look at this. Remember I said relation in every role? Now we're talking legal divorce. Is it all right with God? Now I go, is it all right with God? Can I get it done with man? Can I go to the court? Can papers be served? Please, I'm being sensitive, but this is a reality, right? So look what it says. He says a certificate of divorce to send her away. And he said, it's because of what? The. Please write that down. You need to see this. I come to believe that the The only reason every relationship, every friends, sisters, brothers, parents, the only reason relationships go astray is because of hardness of heart. Therefore, Proverbs 4 tells us to guard our hearts. For out of it flow the what? Issues of life. Here's the most best teaching you could ever receive. When you're in the midst of conflict, when you're in the midst of struggle, when you're in the midst of difficulty, make sure you are gardening your heart. Because if you let those seeds of unforgiveness, bitterness, and roots, you will come to the place where they will grow up like Jack and the Beanstalk. And you would rather be in a different place. That's a good word. Man, Pastor, you didn't have to go here today. Yes, I did. Look at this. Moses allowed you to divorce because of the beginning. It was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality, this is not a comprehensive list, but this is definitely what Jesus said, sexual immorality and marries another does what? Here's another form of relationship. Are you hearing me? Something that was formed over there while it was really supposed to be cleaving over here. Ah, that's a good word. Then these two verses connect. Watch this. Scholars show it. I believe it. I see it. It says this. The disciples said to him, if such is the case, notice it says it's the disciples. These are not Pharisees, lawyers. These are not, people that was coming to test him anymore. This was his own, or they reflect and represent us. So therefore, the disciples say what? They said, well, if that's the case, with his wife, it is better not to what? In other words, they came to this 2000 or 21st century thought, I don't know if we should get married. Man, it's quiet in here. Peter, can I get you to amen? Please. Thank you, brother. I need help here. We find ourselves in another relational role that is depicted even today of people, which it is said, not only it's in the Western civilization, definitely within the U.S., definitely in the U.K., they did a forum on it as to why they believe, read it, why they believe marriage is outdated. It's old. It no longer applies. Pastor, you preaching to us. We want to get married. I got that. But we have to be very careful to people around us that may affect our thinking that it's okay for us to choose a different way. Man, oh man. Thank you, brother. You got what I'm saying. But he said to them, not everyone can receive this, but only to those whom it is given. In other words, what relational role is he talking about now? Single or
unmarried.
Very good. He's talking about people that are what?
Unmarried.
He says, well, this is only given to those that can receive it. He says it's possible, but you have to be given a grace to do it. You got to be given a what?
A grace.
Some of y'all, let me play like some of y'all. Well, I must don't have that right now. It's all right. Can I tell you why? Look at Jesus. I never saw this before. Look what he says. Not everyone can receive this, but only those to whom it is given. For there are eunuchs. Let's look at that as being unmarried for right now. For those that are unmarried who have, there's three reasons why people are unmarried. For there are those that are unmarried who have been that way from birth. And there are some that are unmarried because men have made them that way. That wasn't God's desire, but man has made it that way. And there's the next one. And there are people that are unmarried who have made themselves unmarried for the sake of the kingdom. Can I keep going? This is what Jesus says, red letter edition. Let those who is able to receive this do what? Let those who is able to receive it, receive it. Let's keep going. Best part of the message is coming. And then the next verse says this. Then children were brought to him. I don't know if you've been covering every role. We talked about unmarried people. We've talked about divorced people. We talked about people that are separated. We talked about people that are separated but not legally divorced. We've talked about people that are adult parents of adult children. If a man should leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. We've talked about every single role. And the next verse, never saw it before. It says, and then children were brought to him that he might lay hands on them and pray. Here it is, family as well. Do you see that? Here is the message towards us that are in family. I am currently in it. There is an answer that has to be first on our list when we are parents. Bring them to Jesus. Come on, parents. That's good. Listen, there has to be this number one thing. Can I tell you why? I'm a parent. And the very first thing I try to do is go in and fix it. The very first thing I try to do is go in and try to make it right, or I'm going to discipline you, or you need to do it that way, or, oh, I got to make this happen better, or, oh, we failed as parents. We're just so bad and terrible. No, take them to Jesus that he might lay hands on them and pray. How many understand as they grow older, you want them to increase in their relationship with God and not with you? That doesn't stop our love for them. You know what? That doesn't mean we love our grandchildren more than we love our children. Right? But we have to be able to be willing to do this first, and that is to take the children to who?
Jesus.
Take them to Jesus. All right, best part of the message, y'all give me. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 to 14. Watch this. Keep playing. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is any worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. It is from this passage of scripture we get, first of all, we've got to think our way into what? The peace of God. What do we have our minds on? The scriptures just told us to think on these things. And what? The God of peace will be, and the God of what?
Peace.
Will be. You see, the reason we have this, it says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Now that I speak of being in need, for I have learned. Everybody say learned. I have what? I've never saw this before. I have learned in whatever situation I am in, unmarried, married, or family, I am to be. Hallelujah. Unmarried, married. Or even if I'm going through struggle, I have learned how to be what?
Content.
It says, wait a minute, get this. It's not even necessarily prayed on you. We've got to learn how to be content. This is not automatic. You've got to learn how to be content. Come hell or high water, I'm not going to lose my peace. I'm going to learn how to live in contentment. I may not have a great bank account, but I'm going to learn how to live in contentment. I know the Joneses might have a better house than I do, but this little thing I've got, I'm going to clean it up because I am learning how to live in contentment. I may not get a date. I don't know what's going on, if I stink, my bad breath, or what it is, but until the right one comes, I'm going to learn how to live in contentment. I'm going to stop looking at everything that walks by me when I got a beautiful bride at home. I'm going to learn how to live in contentment. I know how to be brought low. We don't read this too much. And I know how to what? In every circumstance, I have learned the secret. The what? Because it can be learned. Of facing plenty and facing what? Abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me.